Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're continuing this little series on biblical prayer, and tonight we're going to talk about the posture of prayer. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. It's actually two parables on prayer. In our passage tonight, and it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear long with them, he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." When we talk about the posture of prayer tonight, we're not talking about the position, the physical position that we're in, but basically the spiritual posture that we have to be in order to pray. And here's some thoughts on prayer before we get into the message tonight. Prayer is more than some people think. It's more than praying over your food and saying grace. It's having a quiet time with God where you bare your heart to Him. And He said that He spoke this parable unto them to this end, that men might ought always to what? Pray and not faint. Sometimes we say, well, I pray once and that's enough. We need to keep on praying. Prayer is more than some people think. Secondly, prayer is asking for help beyond your capability. The widow could not avenge herself of her enemies. And so she went to authority to have the authority take care of her problem. We need to understand that we have an authority and He's called God.
Amen.
And we need to bring all of our needs to Him. Cast all our care on Him, for He cares for us. And even if you can take care of the problem, you need God's wisdom to deal with it. And so prayer is asking for help beyond your capability, beyond your way of thinking, beyond your resources, beyond your strength, beyond your skills. Prayer is getting God's attention. There's a lot of verses. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The prophets talked to Israel over and over again and said, you're praying to God, but He's not hearing you because your heart's way far away from Him. But you know something? We need to pray on God's terms. And we talked about the power of prayer already. We talked about the purpose of prayer. And it's to align our will with God's will. Lastly, prayer is in the second parable. It's not about hearing what you've done for God, but what God can do to help you.
Amen.
We kind of get things backwards and say it's all about me. No, it's all about God. Everything we do, whatsoever you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
So, you might say this is a simplistic message, but I think we could all use a better prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
So, the first thing here is that we need to humble yourself before God in prayer. We need like the publican. He could not lift up his eyes in prayer because he understood his state. He smote himself and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He understood his spiritual state. Prayer requires humility and recognition of our dependence on God. That's the proper spiritual posture for prayer. In James chapter 4, verse 6, which is a section on asking and why you don't get what you want because you're asking it wrong. He says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the what? The humble." That Pharisee was not justified. He justified in his own eyes, but not in the eyes of God. And when we come to God's presence, we need to understand that we need to be humble. We don't demand. There's some people out there that teach that you demand God. You can't do that. We owe him everything.
Amen.
Okay? He owes us nothing. Prayer requires humility and recognition of our dependence on God. Secondly, prayer, humble prayer, acknowledges God's greatness and our need for his help. You know, we're taught in school, we're taught at work, and we're taught, especially the military, you know, you need different, but you need to be all you can be. You need to be self-actuated. No, we need God's help.
Amen.
In Psalm chapter 95, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." There's all sorts of acrostics about prayer. And the one that I kind of like, because it talks about all the prayers that we do, is the acts of prayer. The model prayer follows this. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." It starts out with adoration. He's God and we're not. And we need to be humble that way. We need to tell God how much we love him. We tell our spouse, or we should. We should tell our Heavenly Father the same thing.
Amen.
The second thing is we need to get right with God, and that's confession. We need to confess our sins. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." This morning we talked about, in Children's Corner, about David having to be sorry and be repenting of his sin. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." We have to meet God on his terms. And sometimes, all the time, we have to admit that we're not as good as we think we are. The third thing is for T is for Thanksgiving. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything let your requests be made known with" what? Thanksgiving. To God. As we talked about this morning. You know, this world needs to be a little more thankful.
Amen.
Kids, I'm looking at you.
Thank you.
You need to be more thankful about your parents. We need to be thankful about our parents. We need to be thankful for each other. We need to be thankful for all the benefits that God has given us.
Amen.
See, that acknowledges God's greatness and our need for His help. Lastly, it's supplication. We intervene like Moses did numerous times. God wanted to smite all the Israelites and kill them all. He says, I'll start over with you. But Moses intervened and said, oh Lord, don't do this. We need to understand it's not about us. It's about Him.
Amen.
And then it's about others. And then it's about us.
Amen.
So, humble ourselves before God in prayer. Prayer requires humility and recognition of our dependence on God. Secondly, humble prayer acknowledges God's greatness and our need for His help. He resisted the proud and give grace to the humble, because humility and prayer leads to God's favor. Every time I see this verse, I think of Martha Hand. Because when we had a fifth Sunday sing, or she wanted to give a testimony, she quoted this verse. We will learn from this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's getting your life right with God.
Amen.
First of all, you have to be His people. You need to know Him. Secondly, you need to humble yourself. Thirdly, you need to start praying. And when you pray, you seek His face, not what you want, but what He wants. And when you pray, you stand before a holy God and you say, oh, I'm undone. Please forgive me of my sins. I repent of that. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 40 and 41, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We need to humble yourself before God in prayer. That was the second parable. The first parable talked about persistent prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint or to actually give up. Persistent prayer brings results. We are called to pray incessantly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. That's in a sense of time. But there's also a sense of place. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Is anyone looking? No one's looking to pray now. Public prayer.
That's right.
Stand on your faith.
Amen.
Show that you're different. Don't act like the world. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Because with the judge got tired of hearing the widow, here I am, avenge me of my adversary. And he said, I'll do it. And then he says, basically, he says, you pray to God, God hears you. You keep on praying. You keep on praying until you get an answer or it changes your prayer by changing your heart. We are called to pray incessantly. Persistence in prayer demonstrates faith and trust in God's time in the first verse. Men also ought to pray and not to faint. You know, sometimes God puts us in a bad place to see if we'll pray.
Amen.
And it keeps us in that bad place until time's up. His time's up.
That's right.
He does.
I direct your gaze to Jonah. In the belly of the fish. He wasn't singing under the sea. He wasn't happy. How would you like to be swallowed by a fish? I mean, that's a terrifying experience. What would it take you? Why would it take God to get you to do what God wants you to do? But he realized it. He says, I'm not dead. I'm not being digested. Now, that's an interesting thing in itself. He said, when my false soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And here's the way that we need to understand this. We need to remember. We need to remember who we're praying to and why we're praying to it. We need to keep on praying. He said, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thy holy temple from the bowels of a fish. We're praying for the church. We're praying for our houses. We're not in Jonah's state. Don't stop praying. Don't let God have to put you into a place that's nasty and everything else in order to get you to pray. He'll do it. But that's not an effective prayer life. We're called to pray incessantly. Persistence in prayer demonstrates faith and trust in God's timing. And then lastly, God rewards persistent and fervent prayer. Right. You know, we do things that we see a benefit in getting. We don't do anything unless we see some reason to do it. And what better reason is to get the creator of the universe on your side?
Amen.
God rewards persistent and fervent prayer because that is effectual by the faithful. There's a lot of people that pray, but I believe God doesn't hear the prayer.
That's right.
There's a time that we pray and we know. We're just going through the motion. We know that God's not listening because we're not right with him. But James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be what? Healed. And then it says, the effectual, which means it's persistent, it's right directed, it's in God's will, it's done from a humble heart. It's all these things we've been taught. The effectual and fervent. You don't stop.
That's right.
You don't stop. Fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man. I tell you what, you become a person of prayer, it will change your lifestyle.
Amen.
It will change your walk with God. Because
right.
God will get a hold of your heart. Prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. It will have an impact. God rewards persistent and fervent prayer that's effectual by the faith. And secondly, that prayer is enjoined by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, that's cometh to God for salvation, that's cometh to God in prayer. Cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We should be people of prayer that's so visible that people will come to us and they say this. We know that you pray. And we know that you follow God. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for us? That is effectual. That shows fervency. That shows that we're righteous. That shows that it works. What a tremendous opportunity to witness. Persistent prayer brings results. Lastly, the posture of prayer is that we need to pray believing that God will actually do this. We need to pray with faith and expectation to expect God to answer your prayers. If you don't expect God to answer your prayer, why pray? It's a waste of time. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Christ instructs his disciples. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Matthew chapter 18, Christ tells the disciples, he says, "Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven." And that involves prayer. We call on God to intervene down here. He's intervened up there. And we need to expect God to answer your prayers. Faith, fear, prayer. Faith-filled prayer moves mountains. Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John are Mount Transfiguration. They're with Jesus to see him glorified. Down below, there's a man who brings a son to the disciples to cast out a demon that's possessed him, throws him in the fire, does all sorts of things to him. And they couldn't do it. Jesus comes back down. There's an object lesson for the disciples, for those disciples, for all, and for us. And the disciples came to him and said, "Why couldn't we do this?" And in Matthew 17, verse 20, he says, "Because of your unbelief." You don't believe that you can do it. You know why Christians are defeated today? We don't believe we can win. "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove." And look at the next phrase. "And nothing shall be impossible to you." I don't know about you, but I want to live a life in God's power. I want God to work through me. I want God to work through you. I want God to work through our families. I want God to work through our church. We do pray. We have corporate prayer here in our services. Because I firmly believe, and we all need to believe, that faith-filled prayer can move mountains. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let's do it. Lastly, pray believing that God is able to do the impossible. The story of Mary being told that she's going to have a baby without the normal physical action. He says, scratch her head. How can this happen? And in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Do you believe that?
Yeah.
If you believe it, we'll act on it. We will live our lives differently. Trusting God, believing, being humble before God, being persistent with God, praying with faith and expectation. Prayer is more than bowing your head and saying some words.
Amen.
That's right.
Prayer is getting your heart aligned with God's heart.
Amen.
Prayer is telling God what you need. And basically having God work His way, His time, His terms. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let's stand. But if our Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Help us, Lord, tonight to commit to you in this area of ministry. Lord, help us to adore and to confess and thank you for all the things. And to intercede, Lord. Lord, I pray if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, that tonight be the night of their salvation. Because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, help us, Lord, tonight to follow you in truth. And that truth will set us free. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.